Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Tamid Daf Lamed Beis. We begin on Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, two lines from the bottom. So we begin with a discussion, interesting discussion, which took place between Alexandros Mygdoin, known as Alexander the Great, who ruled the world, and apparently he was also a bit of a philosopher. He was a Talmud, a student of Aristotle. And when he would come to Eretz Yisrael, he would engage the sages of Eretz Yisrael in matters of philosophy and culture. And here goes a list of 10 questions which he posed to them. Asora Dvarim, two lines from the bottom. Asora Dvarim, 10 questions, Sha'al, were posed by Alexandros Mygdoin to as Ziknei HaNegev, the scholars living in the south of Eretz Yisrael. Amarlan, first question. We turn to the next topic. Which is further, the sky from the earth, or the midpoint of the earth to the eastern horizon, or to the western horizon? Which one is further? Nashamayim la'aretz rochek, from heaven to earth, is further, o'im mizrach la'marav, or east to west. Amarlan, they told him, and some explained that there was a deeper meaning to this question. The question was whether a person's efforts, you know, a person's success is comprised of two elements, his own efforts and heavenly assistance. What plays a greater role? That was his question. So east to west represents a person's endeavors, traveling, looking to earn and to accomplish, versus heaven to earth, which symbolizes the Siyata Deshmaya. So that was the meaning behind his question. That was Rani LaBoikar. That's how we learn the Gemara. Sefer Rani LaBoikar. So that was his question. They told him, east to west, Mizrach L'Marav. Teda, look, we can prove it to you. Sharichama B'Mizrach. When you stand here, looking to the east, and the sun rises, you can see it. You're not blinded by it. Hakol mistakim, all are looking and seeing. It's no issue of blindness. It's not too strong. Chama b'marav, likewise, when the sun is over at the western horizon, hakol mistakim, all can see it. Chama b'emtzerakia, but midday, you dare look at the sun, you'll be blinded. Ain't hakol mistakim, you can't look up. Why? Apparently, because it's closer. Shemaim to Eretz is closer than over to the east or to the west. V'chachamim oimrim, and the true Chachm Yisrael, the real Tamil Chachamim, they said no. They disagreed. Zeh v'zeh ke'echad shavim. Actually, both are of the same distance. Shneimar, we have a pasuk. They brought it right from Tehillim. So one pasuk refers to the height between heaven and earth. The next pasuk to east and west. Shneimar kigvoyah shemayim al oretz. Just as vast distance between Shemaim Ba'aretz concludes the pasuk. That's how much benevolence is, how much chesed Hashem showers on us. Gavar chaza yireyev. And then the next pasuk makes a reference to east west. Kirchayk mizvon marav. As per the distance between east and west, Hashem pushes away, distances our sins. He looks away from our sins. Now, v'yichad minayu nafish. If one of these, either the Shemaim to Eretz or the Mizrach L'Marav, is further, is greater of a distance, then the pasuk would have just referred to that. In both instances, why go back and forth? V'yichad minayu nafish, one is further away. Nichtav tavayu kahud nafish. The pasuk should have related both concepts. A, the great chesed of Hashem showering on us, and B, doing away with our sins in the furthest, most extreme, most distant term. So apparently there's no issue because they're both the same distance, hence the alternation. And as to your proof, your scientific proof, look, you can't look at the midday sun. Doesn't that prove that it's closer? No. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because it's direct. It's more direct than when the sun is off to the right or to the left. because it's positioned directly without any obstructions, as opposed to when it's to the side, there's haze, there's fog, there's all kinds of obstructions which mitigate the effect of the light. Amar lahem. Next question on his list, number two. Let's go back to creation. Now he's getting a little sticky. Amar lahem shamayim nivru tchila. Apparently he was a believer. He wanted to know how it worked. Heaven was created first, or the earth, or the earth. Amar lahem tom shamayim nivru tchila. Of course the heaven. Shenemar, the pasuk says bereishis elokim es hashamayim, and then es haaretz. Okay, he accepted it. Number three. Amar lahem oyer nivru tchila yichoshech. Now he got even more advanced into the mass of bereishis. He wants to know what came first, light or darkness. Amar lahem, they said, well, this is a tough one. We're stuck on this one. Amar lahem milsa, this item, ein lo psar, doesn't have a solution, doesn't have a clear answer. Why not? They should have presented that pasuk. But amar lahem, they should have answered. Choshech nivru tchila, of course darkness came first. Pasuk says, v'aretz ha'yisasoy v'vayu choshech. It was filled with darkness. And then it says Hashem introduces light. So why didn't they? Sarva, they figured, okay, he's getting into matters which he shouldn't be pursuing. Sarva, they were concerned. He might proceed to ask questions on matters which are beyond our comprehension, which we shouldn't be getting involved in. Mala mala, for instance, what's above the earth, or mala mata, what's below the world, what's above the world, what's below, what's malafanim, what's this way, malacha, what's behind. Some learn that lafanim malacha relates to time, what took place before creation. You're not meant to get involved in these topics. So once they saw that he was getting advanced in his questions on creation, they backed off. If that was a concern, so they shouldn't have answered his first question either when he asked heaven, earth, what came first. The answer is Mikar or Savar. Initially on that first question, they figured, okay, it's just an innocent question, just asking one off, Kivin the Chazor, the Kahadar Shaw. But then, once they see that he's proceeding and he's developing his presentation, going into further details, Sabri, they figured, Lloyd Namulay, you know what? It's time to back off. Dilma, for concern that he might get diverted into unwanted territory. Dilma also Lishiyuli, he might start asking, Malamalo, Malamata, what's above, what's below, Malafon, Malach, what's before, what's after. Amalam. Okay, now we went on to cultural topics, personal, development questions. Amar lahem, next question. Idein, what kind of fellow is worthy of the title scholar, wise? Idein miskri chachim. Who's called a chachim? Amar lahem, told him, Ezo chachim. You know who's really a chachim? Look, what's happening now, everybody can see. What's happening, what's anticipated in the future, everybody can guess. But only one is a real chacham, who actually visualizes the future in the present. He anticipates the outcome of his actions, and he lives accordingly. Ezo chacham haroya. He visualizes sanoilat, the outcome. He's 10 steps ahead. Omer lahem, next question. Idein miskri gibor, who's worthy of the title gibor? Strong. Amar lahem, told him, being strong girl, more powerful than the other person, or even overcoming that person's temptations, having an opinion about that person's issues, that's easy, shmeezy. Gibar, a true gibar is one who conquers his own desires, who controls his own issues. Amar lahem, ezo gibar, hakoyvesh es yitzroi. Conquers his own elements. Amar lahem, next question. Idein miskri usher. Who's worthy of the title usher? Who's wealthy? Amar lahem, they told him, it's not about dollars and cents, it's about satisfaction. Ezo usher. You know who's really an usher? Smech v'chalkai, one who's satisfied with his lot. Not looking over his shoulder and comparing himself to the next person. That person's never-ending proposition. Smech b'chalka. Happy with your own lot. Satisfied. Content with what Hashem gave you. Omer lehem. Next question. He asked, Ma yavid, what about longevity? How do you live a long life? Ma yavid inish, v'yichid, what should a person do to earn a long life? Omer lehem told him, kill yourself. Yomas atzmei, which means to say, make yourself humble. Keep a low profile. Maintain a healthy lifestyle. Be connected to spirituality. And then you live long. So stay out of the limelight. Stay out of envy. Stay out of ayin hara. In fact, the Gemara elsewhere says that Yosef HaTzadik, the reason why Yosef HaTzadik passed away before his brethren, because he assumed the role of leadership, Rabbonus. Rabbonus is Mekaveres is Baleh, can bury its holder, meaning the person is meant to be a Rav and to be a leader. Fine, that's Hashem's mission for him, but it's up to a person to choose. A person should keep a low profile. Even within the Rabbanah, should keep a low profile. Be humble. Out of limelight. Don't arouse envy. Don't arouse kinna. Maintain a disciplined lifestyle. Omer lehem. Ma yavad inish. Next question. Ma yavad inish v'yomus. Next question. What should a person do if he wants to shorten his life? Chas v'shalom. Yichayes atzma. The answer was, enliven himself. Make yourself known. Loud. And all over the place. And lead a life of lack of discipline and unhealthy lifestyle. That's how Chas v'Shalom a person could affect his longevity. Omer lehem. Next question he wanted to know. Now he's getting a bit into politics. Mayavid inishvi skavel al briyasa. What should a person do to be liked, to be received well by the people out, by the masses? Amru, they told him, Yisne malcha v'shelton. Not sure he wanted to hear this. He should dislike rulership and kingship. Keep away from politics. Amru Lewis, so this time he had an opinion. You see, it's the first time he responded. He disagrees. He says, because pertain to him. He says, I have a better approach than you. It's the opposite. You should befriend the king and the rulers, and you should be part of the ruling, hierarchy, which will enable him to do favors, to provide, to serve the people. Yavativu, do favors of bnei nosha with people, which fit his worldview, his profile. Amalan. Next question he wanted to know. Biyama yoylemeder. Where is it better to live? Out in the sea, is traveling around making money. Biyabesh yoylemeder or calm at the on dry land. Omrulay, they told me, better to live on dry land. Because all the travelers, all the sea travelers, all the frequent flyers, they're anxiety ridden. Until they get home, they're calm and back secure. Let me ask them, at that time, their das is not miyushiv, they're not calm and secure. It's not going to until they get to the dry land. Yeah. Marsha, I believe, says, and here it's a remes to the guy. The girl says that the yam is ilm hazeh. Sea travelers in this world are traveling to ilm habo, which is our dry land, our destination, which is primary. Of course, he says ilm habo till we get the dry land. We never fulfill our desires. We never get to our destination. We never really feel accomplished until Elam HaBok. Elam HaZeh cannot provide true satisfaction. It's only a transient, temporary abode. In which case now, everything's okay. Everything's a bonus. We lower our expectations. It's like Sukkos. We have Diras Arai. Right? The Sukkah highlights that the home is just a temporary dwelling, and that allows us to shift our focus from trying to be satisfied, to be content with this world, which is a never achievable objective. It's not meant to be. It's just meant to be a transient walkthrough, road stop. In which case, that's why it's Zman Simcha Seinu, Rabbi Brudny actually explains, that's why Zman Simcha Seinu, because true happiness is not found when the focus is on this world, because you can never achieve true satisfaction in this world. It's not meant to provide that. How do you get real Simcha in this world? Only if you view it as a temporary abode, in which case then you're happy. It's all a bonus. Until we get to Olam Haba, Yabeshta, that's when we'll have the Shleimus Amiti. Amen, v'amen. Amarlan. So once again, he addresses the Chachamim. He says, "Idein min chayin chacham yatir." Who's the greatest scholar amongst you? Amarle, Tom, kulanu kachadu shavni, all of equal stature. The Hakol Musa Amar's lana. Look, fact is, every question you asked us, bechad, pasar nalach, we all answered the same. We had the same solution. Amarlehem. Now he got a bit edgy. He says, "Madein asriston lekavli." Why do you oppose me? Meaning, don't you see that we're successful? We're the rulers of the world. We run the system. Why don't you join us in our religion? So atristan is like being matrist, like opposing, like challenging us. Why are you not with us? Unrelated, they told him, the truth is our way is the correct way. But in the meantime, during Golos, the Satan, the powers of evil are strong. Sitna, the Satan Natzach, he's above. But it's just a temporary situation. Soon enough, things are going to turn around. Omer lands. Now he got really enraged. He says to him, "Anoha, anoha, maktil nul yoschem gzeres malach, I'm going to kill you out by decree of the king." Omer lay. So he told him, "Shalton biad malka." True. The melech has the shalton, the control. But v'lo yoy l'malach l'kazav. It's not fitting for the king to defraud, to be dishonest. You've already committed to us at the beginning of our debate. You will not harm us. Apparently that was the modus operandi. When you go out and debate serious religious matters, you have that agreement beforehand. No matter what, no matter what happens, nobody will attack each other. So you can go back on your word, you're going to kill us. So he backed off. And out of grudging respect, Miyad, immediately Al-Bishyosan, he dressed them with Lavush and the Argamot, these purple robes, to purple begodim, Vishodim, and Nichad Dahab Al-Tzabrayan, placed this golden piece around their necks. Amalan. Okay, next question. He'd like to take a world tour, he'd like some advice. He says, Beino de Ezel, Medinas Afriki, I'd like to travel to Afriki, which is beyond the boondocks, really far away. Amrle told him, "Lematzas azas, you can't get there." You know why? The paski hari choshech. There were these immensely dark mountains that separate them. You can't get through it. Amrle, so he told him, "What do you mean? I'm a king. I can do anything. Lesagya, it's not sufficient. Lezilna, that I will not go. Meaning, I'm going at any cost. Lesag lezilna." And that's why I came to ask you. Otherwise, I wouldn't be asking you for advice. Just to hear that it's hard to do. That's why I'm asking you. So what should I do to get there? I'm going to tell him like this. I see Chamer Luboy, get a hold of the Libyan donkeys, the Parshi, who can travel Bahavar, even during in darkness. I see Kibur de Masni, get a hold of balls of rope. Use them as a safety rope. Stake it into the ground on this side of your of the mountains, the chiasis, so that when you're ready to return, so you'll hold on to the rope, naktas begavayu, you'll hold on to the ropes, you'll make your way back, v'asis, last one, you make it back to your land, avad hochi, v'azal. He did as per their instructions, and he got there, he made it there, he made it to the Hori Choshech. Maybe these were the Aseres HaShvatim, Sancheriv, sent out the Aseres HaShvatim into exile, and the Pasuk speaks about the fact that the was sent to the furthest places. And Farshim bring that was beyond the Hari Choshech, beyond the dark mountains, to make them inaccessible. In recent years, there were various attempts at trying to access the these far-flung places, hoping to meet some of the Aseres HaShvatim. In fact, recently there was an attempt to access an area in northwestern China, which is barely accessible. It's like a war zone near Mongolia. The whole story I just read, this fellow went there and he got to a certain point and he kept on being blocked by Chinese and then soldiers. He couldn't get through. It was very hard. Then he realized that it's really inaccessible, like the mountains there. You can't travel. There's no roads. You have to take a donkey and it could take weeks to get. But he heard rumors that there are communities behind there that are like strange, interesting people, like their own isolated communities. And there was word that there were like millions of Semites there. Like, he got very close to meeting some. Apparently, they come to go shopping at the markets, and he saw like a whole truckload of these interesting-looking people. And as soon as he approached it, they all drove away. Like all kinds of strange mystical things. Apparently, Hashem is not—they're not ready to be discovered, not ready to be brought back. But we have to believe. We know that they're somewhere out there, perhaps numbering the millions of Yidden, Aseres Hashvatim, that maintained. Hopefully maintained a high degree of Yiddishkeit, will be coming back soon. In fact, that's what the tefillah we say. That's one type of returning of exile. And now dispersed Kanes, Hashem, bring back Miyakas Yaris from the farthest, flungest corners of the earth. What are these two elements of exile? Perhaps the first is the Yidden that are known to be amongst the Goyim, like us. Then the second part refers to the masses of Yidden that are intact but inaccessible at this point. What if it's to say now, dispersed Kanes, bring back Miyarkas Yaris from the furthest places of the earth? Okay, so in any case, he made it past the Hori Chayshech. And what did he find there? Mato, he arrives, Laub Muchayza, to this area, this district, this city, the Kulei Nashi, full of women, very few men, it was a women's zone. Boy, I wanted to conquer them. I wanted to make war. Amrulay, they told him, listen, it's a lose-lose situation for you. Listen, Mr. King, imagine you kill us all. Yomer, the people say, big deal. Nashi Katal, he killed women. Not very impressive. If we kill you during this war, it will be a tremendous embarrassment for you. Yomer, people will say, Malka Katlu Nashi. Look, he was a king who was killed by women. So, lose-lose. Amrulay says, okay, I'm backing off. Could I have some lunch? Aisuli Nahama, bring me some bread. Aisuli Nahama Dahava. They brought him, instead of plain bread, a golden loaf of bread. Absurd Dahava on a golden table. He turned to him at pace. He was surprised. Amrulay says, I asked for bread. It's not edible. In your place they eat golden bread. Amrulay told him, we figured it wasn't plain bread that you have with you. You were probably coming for something special. Amrulay, in Ahama, boys. We figured if you want plain bread, you can have in your place, Nahama Lamechal, bread for lunch. You had to travel all the way here. The Shachlas Vas Lachad, you slept all the way here. So we figured you wanted something special. So once again, they sort of prevailed. They won him over in their witticism. Kinafik Vasi. Okay, as he was leaving town, Kosov. So he put down an inscription, an autograph, Kosov above the Mechayza, on the gateway of the. Of that city, I know Alexander Smirkton. Alexander Smirkton, Havesi Shatya. I was really silly. I thought I was smart, but I really was silly. Ad Asesi Lemdinas Afrika, until I came to this place in Afriki, the Shaya, this women's place, and they taught me a thing or two. Yalifas Eitzim in the Shaya, and I got advice from the Yanoshim. They put me in my place. I have much to learn. Okay, on his way out, Kishakov Asi, as he was leaving, he's on the road. Yosef Ahu Amayana. He sat down by the spring to have his lunch. Ka'ach Naham is eating his bread. Abiyadi Gildani. The milchi had these salted fish, which were salted for preservation, presumably. And he wanted to rinse them off in the water. But the Macharidu, as he was rinsing them in the water, Nafu Recha. Suddenly they absorbed this wonderful scent out of the water. Amar, he figured something special here. Shmamina. Apparently, Hayena. This spring is sourced in Gan Eden. Migan Eden Asi. So what do? Ikadamri, some say shakal mahanu maya. He took some of that water, tarapay, he washed his face to, have a little Gan Eden effect on himself. Ikadamri, some say idli kule. He walked it back to its source. He traced it back to its source. Adamat until he came, pisli to the opening of Gan Eden. Ramu kule called out, pisli baba, open my gates of Gan Eden. I would like a little tour of Gan Eden. Amulay told him, members only. Zashal Hashem, Sadiq, Amulay. He says, well, I'm no little guy. I'm a king. I know Nami, me too. Malchut HaMelechim, Mechashav HaShivnu, I'm prominent enough to enter Gan Eden. Havalumidi. Let me at least have a, at least give me a, you know, a souvenir. Yavale Golgalta. Chab, it gave him an eyeball. Asse. So he took a hold of it. Takle. Lekula Dava Kaspa. Went back home. He took all his gold and silver. The day of you know, his own, his, of his treasure. And he lined it up on a scale alongside that eyeball. And guess what was heavier? The eyeball. Takle took Lekule, all of his gold and silver, the Havav Kaspa day, bad day, opposite. He weighed it opposite. But he have a maskli. It wouldn't weigh it down. And he was mystified. Amar Lahayin Rabban. He turned to Rabban. My hi, what's going on with this eyeball? Amar, they told him. Gulgalta, Da'ina. You know whose eye it is? A human being's eye. Who he was looking? Always looking for more and more and more and more. His eyes never satiated. That's why he's so heavy. Golgalta, the ena, the bisra, vidama, like a basa radam, the loiko sava, which never satiated. That's why it's so heavy. Amaluhu. So he asked them, prove it. My dachi, how do you know that's the reason? Prove it to me. So he told them, look, Amalu shakli kalu afra, take a bit of earth, vikasi, and cover it, bury it. The altar taklo, and immediately it's going to regain its own you know actual weight. It's going to lose its heaviness. Why will it lose its heaviness? Because it's like, you know, when you bury it, which symbolizes death and burial of a person at that point. He's done and over with his desires and with his quests, which are never ending. So only in the grave does that end. And then it goes back to its actual weight. The Chassid, as the Pasuk says, Shoyl v'avad lo yizbano. The Pasuk continues, Ve'eini other man, a person's eyes, lo yizbano, will never be fully satiated. It's an endless proposition. Endless pursuit. Tanadar Leo, Gehenim Lamalam Narakia. Gehenim is above the Rakia. Yesh Ayrim Lachayre. Some say Gehenim is Lachayre behind the Hari Chayshech. Those dark mountains that we just discussed. And we're speaking about Gehenim in this world, meaning the Rambam Perashat Mishnah explains that there's a concept of Gan Eden and Gehenim in a physical dimension, in this world. Somewhere hidden from view, but it's in this world. And that's what the Gemara here is referring to. Tana Rabbi Chia. Kolaisa Wadir Belaila. A person who pushes himself to learn at night, when it's hard, when it's tired, when it's difficult. Shchina Shkinegda Yizoich Tere Shchina. Opposite Mishnemar. Kumi Raini Balaila. When you have Raini, you sing the Torah at night. L'Rosh Hashmurois. Yizoich Tere Presence of Shchina. Shivach Kamayim Libach Noichach. Pnei Hashem. Omer Ozon Azari Tab Chamim. Torah scholars Marmim Shalom Ba'ilim increase the peace in the world. They synthesize spirit with the physical. Remove any barriers and conflict. The Rogashmis turns into Ruchnis, which is the ultimate peace. Marbim Shalom Ba'olam, they increase the concept of peace in the world. Shanema V'chol Banayich Midi Hashem, those learn Torah Rav Shloim Banayich, they bring peace. And there's a Gersa Al Tikri Banayich, instead of reading it Banayich, your sons, Ela Banayich, your builders, the Chachamim, increase the Shalom in the world. Okay, that concludes this interesting piece of Gemara, which began with 10 questions posed to the Chachamim by Alexander's Maigdoin, some of which were answered, some not. Then he went on to his touring ambitions. He actually arrived at the area. He encountered the Mayan of Gan Eden. And concluded with the greatness of Torah and those who make the effort against all odds, against all challenges to commit themselves to Torah, to Zeicha the Shechina Kenegdei, and to Marbe Shalom Ba'olam. Hadin Allah, Lo Yehu Kaisen, says the Mishnah. Amar Lam Amunah, so back to the Beis HaMikdash, supervisor turns to the Kehanim, who were involved in the Hakrov of the Korban Tumah. They took a break to do their davening, and he says, Berchu, Berchu, Bracha Achas, it's time to make that one Bracha. And we're speaking about a bracha before Kriya Shema. Typically, we have two brachas, right? Yetzer Hara, but it was too early for Yetzer Hara. It wasn't yet light enough for that. So they skip that, and they move on to the second bracha, which is the bracha right before Krishma, Avas Oilem, Ava Rabba, right? Bracha, bracha, achas. So they made bracha, and they made the bracha. Kor Aser Sat Dibreis. They read the Aser Sat Dibreis, which is the focal point of our Yiddishkeit. Then they went to Shema, Vayim Shamaya, Vayimer, Baruch Asam Shalosh Brachas. And they proceeded to say three brachas, which everybody else says as well. So which brachas are they? They are the brachas as follows: Emes V'yatziv, following Krishma, Ba'avoida. That's the bracha Ritzei. They didn't have time to do the whole Shemoneh Esrei; just select brachas Ritzei. Interestingly, the Rosh over here on the side says they couldn't say the same nusach as we do. We say V'Hashem is Avoida. We ask Hashem to restore the Avoida. They were in the Avoida. So he says, instead of that, they modify it. They would say, "She'oischa levadcha b'yir navoid." Very interesting. And they conclude the words, "Baruch Ata Hashem Sheichem Mitzir." Very interesting. Today, on the days when we have Birchas Kayanim, the Shliach Tzibur also concludes. You see, they didn't have a Sachzanei name, right? Zanei name only came later. So in fact, the Shliach Tzibur concludes very similar to the way they concluding Beis HaMikdash, Oyscha Levadcha B'Yir HaNavid, should serve Hashem with focus, with dedication, with purity of heart. And that's said on a day of Birchas Kayanim, which is interesting because Birchas Kayanim is one of the only things that we have that sort of carries over from Beis HaMikdash, the true Avoid of Kayhanim, which we don't really have today. But we do have Birchas Kayanim, which is the same mitzvah as was then. So very appropriate that the Shliach Tzibur would use the same text, the same Lashon, in concluding his bracha v'ritzei as they did in the Beis Hamikdash. Very interesting. Okay, ubrichas kayhanim, right? Ubeshabbos, on Shabbos they would add another bracha, moisif and bracha achat. They would add another blessing, mishma yotze, to address the group of kanam leaving. They would switch over on Shabbos. They would give them a farewell bracha. Amalehem. Okay, once again the mamuna turns to the kayhanim. He says chadosh makteres boi bafisu, new ones, meaning the kteres was a very sought after avoid it because at a skula, to give you wealth. So they wouldn't allow the kohen to repeat. If you had the privilege once, you weren't eligible to come back again and be involved in the k'teres. So only new ones. Kohen will never, did the k'teres come, join the pious to pick out the lucky one. And now the next pious was Amar Lehem. He turned to the kohen chadashim and yisharim. This time it's new and old. Boy Bafis will be involved in the next pious, which is to determine who transports the Evarim of the Tamid on that final leg of journey from the Kevesh to the Mizbech. Amar Lehem, Chadashim, Mishana, Boy Bafis, Mimal, Evarim, and Kevesh to the Mizbech. There's no need for a new pious for this role. Hamal, Evarim, and Kevesh, the same claim. Who took the Evar to the Kevesh, that was phase one. He comes back and he completes it. Who? The same person, Mal, Islam, Mizbech, takes it to the Mizbech. There's no need for a new lottery. Next question. Mos Machazon. So the lucky Hayanim who won the roles, they proceeded, but the other ones who had been wearing the bigger kahuna were now meant to take them off. Mos Machazon, so they handed those kahuna to the Chazonim, the assistants, who would undress their bigger kahuna, only their pants they would leave on, everything else they would remove. They would switch over to weekday, and then they would slide off the chasayim in a discreet way. They had those cubbies there for the bigdei kahuna, one for the shirts, one for the pants, because of aleim, they had labels. Tashmana kelim, these are meant for the kelim, for the bigdei kahuna. Okay, we'll leave the next mishnah for the next daf. It goes into the Akteris. Leave it for tomorrow, Hashem. Okay, in the meantime, it's Lacharava, I'm Surah Stevens.